Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Noontime hour here on Zolak and Bertrand. Dan Shaughnessy, the Boston Globe, is with us. 2 days now from now will be the start of Patriots training camp in Foxborough. Are you going to be down there, Dan?
Ready I'm not go? Sure. I'm debating. It kind of made it inconvenient. You know, all I care about is me. But I may venture down there tomorrow.
Bill speaks tomorrow.
Job. Yeah, that'd be good.
So he'll be ready to go.
Think anybody who has the balls to ask him about Butler?
I would expect that, that
somebody.
Come on, Dan.
Fans want to know.
Question's going to linger.
Do you think one beat writer? Send Housley or somebody.
8:30 tomorrow morning is when he speaks, by the way.
Yes, another disincentive. Accidental? I think not.
Yeah, make sure you're here by 8:30 to hear the coach speak. So that's tomorrow. The drama with the Patriots, worthy of reality TV, you write today in the Boston Globe. And that is that basically this question about everything. About Butler in the Super Bowl, about what Greg Bedard reports, which is nothing has been resolved between Brady, Belichick, Kraft. And there's nothing really new on this front. It's still same old story, right?
Yeah, and I think for them, I mean, we all know, in my view, once they start playing games and once they advance to where I think they'll go, they're going to win the AFC East for the millionth time in a row. I think they're going to get to the AFC Championship. And that'll kind of negate a lot of what we've had, this void of 5.5 months with no games, no practices, and just connecting dots and trying to read Instagrams and Tom versus Time and Oprah and just all these little hints being dropped here and there. So that's lent itself to the reality TV aspect of what I mentioned in that column. Nobody's fault. People care about this team. And it didn't end in the best way possible. And so here they are tomorrow. And I think that once they get back to football, a lot of this stuff will probably go away.
And I think there is some truth in that. In fact, Mike Reese, who was on Channel 4 Sports Final on Sunday night, actually would agree with that everything is A-OK when they go back to playing football. Here he is.
I actually think, Steve, I've thought about this a lot over the offseason. I think this whole idea of drama, I do want to touch on it here. You know, I mean, you listen to James Harrison over the last week talk about how when he came in last December, he was looking for things.
And didn't find anything.
Didn't find anything.
Right.
You hear Danny Amendola, who has been pretty vocal a couple times on not being happy with the way the Patriots always did their business with contracts, say, you know what, like, there's nothing there. You know, like, look, there's going to be some tension, whether it's over playing time, whether it's over a contract. But Amendola said it. The respect is there, and they will coexist. I have no doubt about it. So, like, this whole idea of drama, what I want to focus on is that on Thursday, you're going to see Tom Brady on the field.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to see Rob Gronkowski on the field. You're going to see Bill Belichick on the field. Robert Kraft will probably be watching. And when all this stuff was swirling last year, Steve, didn't we have the question, like, are all of them going to be back next year? Who's going to be back? What's, like, they're all back.
Right.
It's the same thing. They'll be ready to go, focused on that singular goal of a Super Bowl.
Man, that is a happy spin on things,
Boy,
is it not?
That's a guy.
Crap.
Reese is a guy, it seems like he's a guy that you hear out of the media that is ready to turn the page.
So, everything is fine. And because James Harrison, now we're gonna rely on James Harrison to tell us if everything is okay there. He said things are okay, so everything's fine.
That is cartel headquarters right there.
I'm telling you, though, but he
Kraft
is...
Productions could not have put any better.
He's one of the guys. That's actually
we love
Channel
him.
4. That's
we
actually
love
WBZ there.
I'm going to tease him. Oh, what a surprise.
But that's a guy in the offseason was angry, too.
Hard-hitting WBZ.
He didn't get an answer on Butler. And he was going to dig and dig and dig until he find it. And I think Mike is finally realizing that we're never going to get the answer on Butler. We aren't. And I just can't ask anymore. People don't know. They're going to internalize this thing. And Mike Reese has turned the page.
Like, no, they're all going to be there.
He hasn't even seen therefore, the practice
yet. All is well. Like, everything is like fine.
Kevin Bacon getting run over in Animal House. Mean,
what? Like, come on. Here's my question. They all come back. They're all going to be there. And as Greg Bedard even wrote in his story, you know, this isn't the most alarming thing that they haven't worked it out yet, because for the most part, this is how they've operated for their majority of their time together, going back over the last nearly two decades. I would just ask this question. Is there not a limit, though? I mean, clearly the last year plus has been different, right? They've operated in a different kind of way, because there are these tensions or arguments or things that everybody, you know, the owner, the player, the coach is not happy about on some level. Is there a limit to how well that functions? Like last year, it didn't really, they went all the way to the Super Bowl and nearly won it. Does it catch up with you at some point? If it just keeps adding up and it keeps building, is there a point where it does boil over?
It catches up with nature, the age of people, which would be Tom Brady in this case. And sooner or later, he's not going to be able to be Tom Brady on the field. And no one knows when that is. And there's been all this debate about Tom versus time and later rather than sooner rather than later, whatever. But, you know, he's 41-year-old quarterback. There's term limits on that at some point. As great as it's been, this is the 19th year, it's not forever. That's when it ends, when he gets hurt, his abilities to do what he does. In the meantime, if these guys don't like each other, given the level of competition that they face, it doesn't end for any reason other than Brady's availability to be Brady.
You can still function, and that's the point. I mean, you've been in this business how long, Dan? I mean, do you like everybody in the media, and does everybody in the media like you?
Guys.
No, but you can at least go to NBC Sports Boston and do a late night set with them. Yeah. You know, and
barely
hoping to avoid certain people.
Say what you got to say. Take your check and leave. You
know? Hey, Tom Curran, but no, you're not there.
Hoping that Curran doesn't put a finger in your chest on the way out the door.
And Quick Slants is back this week, by the way. I'm sure it'll be
a clown show.
Oh, Jesus!
Oh, look at Dan.
No, it's just teasing.
Comes out swinging. Yeah, but there's plenty of people that function with disagreements and tension and all of that.
Yes, and again,
but if it continues to get worse, if things don't get resolved on some level. You know, I just don't buy that, like, oh, because they're back, it's all good.
What would threaten them if they were playing in the NFC East? You know, that would threaten them. I mean, things that competition, other teams rising up to push back.
I'll tell you what would threaten them, starting 2-4. You come out of the gate without Edelman, and you find a way to lose a couple or, say, three of those first four, and then you're struggling coming out of the gate when he gets back. You know, when Brady came back that week five against Cleveland, they were off and running.
Are there 4-9 layups in the first 6 weeks?
No, they're tough. I mean, you got Houston. You got Jacksonville. You have Detroit and Miami.
Oh, Detroit.
Here's a question I have about this team,
Dan. Detroit, Dan.
Yeah, I know.
You know, your story says a lot about Bill Belichick and there being no explanations of anything, really, whether it be the drama that has happened or Malcolm Butler and the decision not to play him. And so, therefore, everyone else fills in the blanks and clings to
it lends itself to the kind of speculation
and the anonymous
that we've
sources
had this
offseason. Sure. You know, who's leaking what and who's talking down there.
And a lot of guys,
all that comes into play.
They did this to themselves. So, you know, Tom saying, I plead the fifth and all this sort of thing.
So
they do it to themselves.
Shouldn't we on some level hold, right or wrong, I'm not talking about placing blame on anybody or saying, you know, Belichick is wrong, Brady's wrong. No. At some point, don't you say that, for all the talk of Kraft should straighten it out. That's what Bedard was writing the other day. Doesn't any of that go to the head coach? Mm. Like, at some point, don't you say, you're the head coach, you're the guy who's sort of in charge of the football team. Don't you put some of that on him to straighten out whatever those issues might be?
Well, I think he's lost a little bit of his all-encompassing powers. I think that's one of the, you know, sifts, you know, the tectonic plates shifting around there, I think, is part of that, where he just got overruled on the line of succession with Jimmy G.
Mm-hmm.
I think he got, you know, Tom has the ear of the owner. And I think, you know, this is, Parcells found out what that was like at the end when he couldn't buy the groceries. And I think that for the first time, Bill's got some, doesn't get his way on all matters.
If Brady hears the report today from SI, Monday Morning Quarterback, if he hears that report that Bill Belichick sent text messages to Jimmy Garoppolo after all of his wins in December. After every game, he was texting him.
Do you think Richard Seymour got those?
Congratulatory notes. How do you think that makes him feel?
Well, like again, he picks up the phone, texts the owner, and says, "See, I told you.
Yeah, I told you." Doesn't it say that? Yeah, see,
it's his boy.
Here's the proof.
It's his boy. What, so, more do, what more do I have to do?
Do you think that that would be a one and out for Belichick? Like he would never have done that with anybody else.
No, I think the position of the quarterback is so unique in this league, and when you've had the greatest for 18 years, and you really put your finger, and you finally, he's drafted other guys here.
Yeah.
You know, that he missed on. I mean, he had Matt Castle. They dealt him. You know, they franchised him. You've had Rohan Davey, you know, going on to Connell. You name it. Hoyer was here. He came back. And now all of a sudden, you finally got a guy, Jimmy Garoppolo,
no,
that looked the part. Disagree. That you knew was the guy.
It's because it's personal.
No, it is personal.
It's personal. Because
there was
because
an attachment
personally
there. I worked
off
with him. He was
that
it.
Someone made him move on, and he wanted this player, and he wanted him to be the successor. And something else got in the way.
Well, Zo put this as well as anybody I know. He said, you know, there was a line of succession and Brady outlived it.
He won.
And
Brady
I think
won.
That's what he did.
My point is, like, why would you trade Jacoby Brissett away if you knew, gun to the head, you couldn't keep both? When did this come? Do you mean to tell me that when the roster was set at the beginning of September, you knew that there's going to be Judgment Day coming with Garoppolo and you were just hoping that Brady was going to fail in the first eight games? Brady carried that team.
Yep. But don't you think that that's how he thinks? And I said this before last season.
He gambled.
Bill Belichick doesn't like the age 40.
No.
In the NFL, he's been around the game too long. And he knows what that age means for just about everybody. Now, Brady might be the guy who beats it. We'll see. But you know he doesn't like that age. You know he looks at that and says, the drop-off is going to happen. It's going to happen quick.
I've talked to
That's how Bill thinks about it.
I've talked to Mike Lombardi a lot about this situation over the years and through Jimmy's development. He was there, and he talked about the process when they drafted Jimmy. And there's a new guy now, Brett Bielema. And he's the consigliere to the head coach, the advisor, so to speak. So he's in a Lombardi role. And Lombardi would always say, you know, at some point, age catches up with you. You know, he was 38. He was 39. We keep having this discussion, and I'm going back to 3 years ago when he was 38. Well, here we are. We're going to another season. He's 41, and he's still going. He won. He beat them.
More on the Jimmy Garoppolo story that popped up this morning. Two stories in 2 days on Jimmy Garoppolo. Bill Belichick was texting him after every game, letting his little Jimmy know, congratulations, Jimmy.
Are we sure that's true?
We love you. This is according to the family of Jimmy Garoppolo. It's a decent source.
But
it's on the record.
Text, or was it every week? Like, I'm going to follow
up. Do you think he's ever done that for another player?
It was called a ritual. It was happening after every game. Your
Jamie
calls,
Collins, how's
we
it going?
Your calls
no,
and
not
more
Jamie
on this
Collins.
Next.
Keep Tlaib.
So, at the Beatle 98.5.
First of all, I have a tremendous amount of respect for Jimmy. I couldn't ask for him to give us any more than he's given us. And the 49ers are getting a good player. And they're getting a good person, and they're getting a great teammate, and they're getting a good quarterback. And Jimmy's getting a good coach. His career is moving forward. He's a talented individual and was a great person to coach. I met with him weekly and, again, have a tremendous amount of respect for him.
Denise Garoppolo, mother of Jimmy Garoppolo, tells SI Bill really, really liked Jimmy. Not like they were warm and fuzzy, but they both knew it was there. They knew it was there. There was a special thing between them. Wow.
It's like Zoe and Roger Goodell.
Amazing.
Last December, following the trade, a sort of weekly ritual began. Oh. After each of Garoppolo's starts for the 49ers, he received a text from the coach who had traded him.
Give me that.
Congratulating him on another win. That is unbelievable.
Good for you. That's good stuff.
Can you imagine that?
That's good stuff.
No.
Did Lawyer Malloy get one of those when it was 31-0?
No, I don't think he got one. I don't think Richard Seymour got one. I don't think Logan Mankins got one.
Jimmy Collins.
I don't think Deion Branch didn't get one. Jamie Collins didn't
Luke
get one.
Rosa Boulevard.
Nobody gets those. Who also got that sort of comment from Belichick on his way out the door?
All of those guys shot their way out of town. All of those guys had issues with the contract or money. Jimmy's was never a contract. But you know what? hey, we tried to keep you. We tried to give you an extension. He did have an issue with the contract.
And the thing that I found interesting over the last couple of days is what the 49ers said about him as a player. They said, we wanted this guy because he wanted to shoot his way out of New England because he was so desperate to play. We wanted this kid.
Okay,
that's the kind of kid you want. You want one that says, yeah, I think I'm better than Brady. Yeah, I think I can beat him out for the job. And I want to play. And they thought, well, that's the kind of player we want.
Well, you keep going back to all these comments about, you know, Belichick, and I worked with him weekly, and you know, he's a great kid, a great player. He's getting a good coach. You know, we're helping them out in return. When that phone call happened, when he called John Lynch and Shanahan, Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah.
Were they floored? Were they as floored as we seem to be as fans now? Floored that's all you got in return for Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean, were they floored when the call came in? Like, are you serious? Do you really want to give us Garoppolo for a second round pick? Why didn't if they were so over the top with it and so ecstatic to get the guy? Why don't you give him a first? Why don't you do a first for him? Why was it only a second?
That's what Belichick asked for.
Because it's all he asked for.
See, and this is Bill, but that's my point now. This is Bill knowing that I'm going to pick up the phone. I'm going to call Arizona. You got one shot to take Chandler Jones on this deal. And here's what I want in return, which eventually ended up being Malcolm Mitchell, Joe Tooney, and that guy Cooper, who was a bust as an offensive lineman. He picks up the phone. He calls Cleveland. He has a history of Cleveland dealing with them. That's how they got, you go back to Deion Lewis and other guys they acquired from Cleveland. But I know where I'm going to handpick to send these guys because I don't want to play against them. He knows that Jamie Collins isn't going to be good there.
There it is. Here's
getting paid.
Let me give you the comment from this story in SI.
He called Tampa to give him Mankins. Go ahead.
Here's what it says. It says, as the trade deadline approached, all was quiet. By the way, earlier in the story, it talks about how the two teams talked about Garoppolo in the offseason after the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Because they had inquired.
Not available.
And they said no. As the trade deadline approached, all was quiet. Any rumblings of a move had died down after the draft. That's when Belichick reconnected with Shanahan, offering Garoppolo in exchange for the 49ers 2018 second round pick. Here's what Mike Shanahan, father of Kyle Shanahan, said. He's quoted in the story. It was almost too good to be true.
That's my point.
Which means that's what Bill asked for. And they're on the other line going, I'm sorry, what?
Is this really Belichick?
I'm sorry. You know what, Bill? Bad connection. I'm going to have to call you back. And then they
said, why?
And then they go, well, let's call him and make sure it's actually him. Let's call him back because we know his number and make sure he's got this right. Yeah. No, he asked for a second round pick. And so Mike Shanahan speaks of it now with a quote. It was almost too good to be true. Mike, the longtime NFL head coach who had fielded a call from his stunned son after the proposal was made. So Kyle Shanahan called his father and said, Dad,
you're never going to believe this.
You are never going to believe what just happened.
Not only did I get paid to be a head coach in this league, I don't have to draft and develop a guy. I got Jimmy Garoppolo hand-gifted to me.
And he offered us Garoppolo for
your friend
second.
Bill. Your friend Bill.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
So the offer and ask from Bill stunned the head coach of the 49ers. He was stunned. That's what his own father says about Kyle Shanahan's reaction to Bill Belichick. Wow. It took no more than 10 minutes for Kyle and 49ers GM John Lynch to decide to accept the offer. 10 minutes? What the hell did they do?
How would you even
call
Lynch?
The verification process to make sure it was really
Trust
Bill Belichick?
Verify.
Like, do we, you know, is there a secret password? What took you 10 minutes?
Like most young head coaches get into this league and end up screwing it up because they don't have the guy. You know, and you found out no matter what, five games, you now know that you have the guy, or they knew then. They knew before Jimmy even played the five games they had the guy. That's what's crazy here. Did Belichick also get maybe hoodwinked by the agent?
What do you think here? Good sources in this story, though, Dan.
Well, the parents are pretty good.
Parents are good.
Shanahan.
Mike Shanahan. A lot of parents. A lot of parental influence in this story.
How do you think the story, like, if I'm Bill, I'm not too happy with the story.
Oh, no.
Too much detail for Bill.
No,
right,
not a good story for Bill.
Bill doesn't want it out there. He
basically didn't ask for enough, and the 49ers thought that.
And tell your parents
and,
to shut up.
And Garoppolo's parents are telling the world that Bill is texting him after his wins in San Francisco to congratulate him on each game.
I would say
that's not a good look for Bill.
Yeah,
today.
No, it's not a good look for the quarterback who reported early and is working out there, and all of a sudden he's got to digest this and step up to the owner's office. See, I told you. I told you these guys, he wanted him. He was the guy. Yeah, I'm the guy that threw for 505 yards in that Super Bowl. Don't forget, okay? I'm the guy that carried this team first eight games last year when we had nothing. When Jules went down, we had to retool the offense. Yeah, me. And that's the appreciation. He wants to be appreciated.
It's so great. Jimmy Garoppolo is Bill Belichick's
secret
lover.
We're doing Patriots open up camp in 2 days, and we've done 2.5 hours on Garoppolo.
He's having an affair.
This is unreal.
Bill Belichick's having an affair on his own quarterback.
What world is this?
Just throw this
in the mix, you know what we're gonna do?
As we go into training camp. Forget everything that is crazy and wild
and
dramatic.
Chris Hogan.
That has happened the last 5.5 months. I like how you had a little bit of a timeline element to your column today, by the way, Dan.
Oh, yeah.
We did a little bit of that yesterday.
Oh, are you listening?
Deep research.
Yeah. I said, can you send me that thing?
It's an incredible list.
Beetle did a good job staying
incredible
up.
Incredible list. Yeah, Cam's in Taunton today. Cam.
Hey, guys.
Oh, hold on. I was going to put
this there. Garoppolo trade.
Yeah. All right, go ahead.
Go.
Hey, sorry about that, guys. Just want to say this about the Garoppolo trade. I mean, it's going to go down as one of the biggest mistakes in the history of Boston sports if Garoppolo keeps playing the way he does, which is a possibility he doesn't. Who knows? But here's what makes it sting
even
more.
What if he's Matthew Stafford? He puts up tons of stats, but he never gets you to the big game.
That's fair. That is fair. Puts up tons of stats, but doesn't win.
What if he wins 4 Super Bowls? You want to play that game? what does that mean? What if he wins 3 Super Bowls in the next 6 years?
Then it's going to sting even more. What makes it sting the most is the fact that Bill was more intended on sending him to a situation where he can succeed and pissing off Robert than getting a maximum return from him. Everybody and their mother knew that if Brady played well last year, Kraft was not letting Brady play for another team. And it's on Bill for not recognizing that and maximizing his value last year at the draft.
Okay, I don't think it's out of spite for Robert Kraft.
Nope.
I think it's out of love for the player.
I agree.
It's about, I love this guy so much, and I think he's so good. I want to put him in a good spot. I want him to be with a coach I like. I want to help a coaching family that I like. It's all those reasons.
I got a great car that I'm taking care of for 3 years. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give it to my son. You know what I mean?
Yeah, regardless. And you know what else I think he feared?
If it's a clunker, you're going
to
sell it.
Do you know what I think he feared if he traded him to Cleveland, if he took the better offer?
Got to play him.
That Josh is going right out the door
Bingo.
After him.
Bingo.
And that would piss him off. That McDaniels is in Cleveland with his guy and... You know, the question about what's the... Here's one question we have not asked in the last 2 days, and it's relevant. What is the relationship between McDaniels and Belichick right now, given that we are now hearing it was ownership and the quarterback who made sure to hang on to this guy and not let him leave? Does Bill feel the way about McDaniels the way Brady felt about Garoppolo? Oh, you've got your next guy. You've got your successor.
I thought he was going to show him the world. I thought he was going to show him the world.
Isn't it a similar and sort of parallel situation?
Mm-hmm.
And that's not to say it's a bad relationship.
I don't know.
Is it completely normal or is it a little bit awkward?
It's somewhat awkward because he gave him the format and the blueprint to go be the head coach in Denver, taught him everything. And he failed there and ended up going other places and ended up coming back as his coordinator again.
In Beatles,
so I think there's a better relationship.
Because I'll tell you what, taking less hurt Bill in the short term too. He would have been better off if he had another first round pick or had a first round pick from Cleveland to go into that draft with this year. And that could help his team right away. So you could say, oh, he did it despite Robert Kraft, which I think is foolish, but he also would have been hurting himself. So where's the reason behind
that?
But
why wouldn't you want one of your coordinators to go somewhere and be a good head coach? You know, it reflects well on you.
Because it would be jealousy, so that's why.
Really?
Just listen to this story. He loves Jimmy like a son. Secret part-time lover Jimmy Garoppolo. He's having an affair on Tom Brady with the old backup.
But how do the Patriots fans feel when they read the Sports Illustrated story here? Are you feeling well served if you're a Patriots fan?
I'll tell you what, we will get to those calls and we'll get some of those answers for you, Dan, coming up after these headlines with McCone. Dan's dates at 12:50.
Damn it, I'm a Dapper Dan man.
And now it's time for Dapper Dan's Dates of Distinction.
For Dapper Dan.
And away we go. With Dan's dates. What are you laughing?
They're the people that can't see this.
We'll take a picture of it. Or we'll get a picture of it.
Sort of fun.
Send it out on the Zoe and
It's weird because...
Would you like a raspberry lime Ricky?
No, in my days of scooping ice cream at Johnson's Drive-In on Route 119 in Groton, I wore a little hat like that. The bread companies would give them out, and I waited on customers.
Didn't the family make the kids pay? Haven't you told us
yes,
that before?
They were very strict about that.
Yeah.
And waited on the customers. I could have got you... I bet you half the listeners out there that I served them ice cream or a coffee frap or something. Honest to God. Well, maybe not half, because you have a younger demographic.
Wait a minute. So frap is technically a milkshake.
If no, you order a milkshake milkshake has no ice cream. It's just
milk.
Syrup and milk.
That's
terrible. And it's all air. It's air.
They screw it up every time.
So don't ask for a milkshake
for
going around here. Ask for a frap. Correct.
And that's your thick shake.
That should get your ice cream.
That's the ice cream.
Just getting air. You're just buying air.
Yeah, let's make it confusing.
Okay, Dan, what do we have today? How do you feel about these dates?
Yes, July 24th is today. And people that were born on July 24th, Peter Sellers, President Martin Van Buren, they're no longer with us. Another one who is no longer with us, Amelia Earhart, was born on this date in 1897.
Can we just talk about her?
Well, it's been a theme over the years because Bob Ryan used her as...
Flew on her plane?
He used the reference lightly about, you know, a transatlantic flight with her at the controls. Wishing bad things. And her sister
lives in Squanum, right?
Yeah. And she was not amused. And Bob tried to invoke the statute of limitations on grief and all that stuff.
It's funny you mentioned that. Last week down the Cape, though.
Yeah.
You see all these old airplanes that people like fly around for fun?
Yeah.
And then I was with a friend of mine.
They usually have the advertising, the banners hanging too.
Well, this one didn't. No, this was definitely an older, antique airplane.
A biplane.
And double wings, man. Two wings, right?
Wow.
And I'm sitting there. Or at the beach with all the kids in the water, I look up and I go, look at this idiot. Like, would you, you couldn't pay me to get in that airplane.
No kidding.
Like, that is
like
that.
No cover. He had the goggles on and a scarf.
No,
like John,
you got
maybe
open
John
air.
Henry.
Like, what are you flying over the ocean for? When it crashes, you can have it shot to land it? Like, what are you doing?
That's tough.
Antique airplanes. Okay, Earhart.
People born on July 24th, other than Amelia Earhart, Ruth Buzzy was on Laugh-In. You guys don't know her.
Nope.
Jesus. Linda Carter. Ever heard of her?
Yeah, she's
It was Wonder Woman.
I was going to say Superwoman.
Filmmaker Gus Van Sant is 66 today. Into sports, Karl Malone. How old?
I'm going to say 52. 52.
He's 55.
Wow.
Some say overrated, some say underrated. He goes works both sides of that.
I say he's properly rated.
Okay. he was a little bit exposed in a dream team, according to people that were there for the practices.
You know,
quite as good as some of the guys. Barry Bonds, how old do you think he is today?
He is 40. Let me think. Wait, no. 49.
He is 54, and his number's being retired
He's
next
54?
Month.
Wow.
Yeah. Looks great.
Yeah, played late.
How old was he when he retired?
Really old, because you forget. You remember he played for the Pirates back
extra years.
In the day when he was a kid.
So, J-Lo is 49 today.
I know. Leo told me that.
And her boyfriend will...
Alex.
He will come into this conversation before we're done.
One of the weirdest moments of the Patriots.
Oh, I think I know where that's going.
Yes, you do. I know, because you're a guy. Okay. Rick Fox, 49 today. Did he stay married to...
Rick Fox is younger than Barry Bonds.
By 5 years.
I would have always picked in my mind...
His window of greatness was earlier.
I would say Rick Fox is older than Barry Bonds.
Yes.
And they're 5 years apart.
How old would you say Elizabeth Moss is today?
Who's Elizabeth Moss?
Ooh, The Handmaiden and... more importantly, Mad Men. You know, she's big. So, yeah, you got to know
her. Heard of her.
Big. She's 36.
Mad Men sucks.
Oh, I love Mad Men.
Of course
we'll have to talk about that sometime.
Of course
you
do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, Patrice Bergeron's birthday is today.
Ooh.
How old do you think he is?
34.
He's 33.
I was going to go 33.
He's really gotten a lot done. He's a young man. Young guy. Okay. Stuff that happened on July 24th through the years. In 1866, Tennessee became the first state to be readmitted to the Union after the Civil War. Horrible thing.
Mediocre move.
Well, on this date in 1915, a passenger ship carrying more than 2,500 people in Chicago rolled onto its side while docked at the Clark Street Bridge. 844 people perished.
Wow.
The boat just turned over.
Holy
smokes.
Right
there at the dock. Yeah, that's a bad one. On this
date. No water?
That was in 1915.
844.
Okay, now you guys, I have to educate you on this. This was the date of the kitchen cabinet, 1959, the kitchen debate. Beetle, any chance you know what the kitchen debate is?
Nixon, Khrushchev.
Very good, Beetle. Yeah. I love that about you. Ah, very unusually old young guy.
Yes.
Yeah. Mark the Beetle Bertrand. That's amazing. You get high marks for that. Good parenting.
You always give me high marks.
Good parenting,
you know,
good teachers,
good
Quincy schools, you name it. So in 1959, the height of the Cold War, Nixon's vice president for Eisenhower. He's over there with Khrushchev, who hated us. You know, it's after Khrushchev took off his shoe, was pounding it at the UN. And they're looking at modern kitchens, these like phony home show things.
So weird.
And they come into this thing, and Nixon says, well, this would be great in America. We'd have loaves of bread here and all this great stuff that you guys can't have access to or whatever. and Khrushchev launches into it. And they get into it in the kitchen on TV, and it became known as the kitchen debate with translators. So it was not much like the Putin-Trump thing last week. This was the kitchen debate, July 24th, 1959. Okay, roll ahead 10 years, and the visualization of John F. Kennedy from his inaugural address where we land on the moon, 1969. We landed on the moon and walked on the moon on July 20th. And on July 24th, the Apollo 11 astronauts splashed down safely in the Pacific. One of them is still alive. Who is that?
Buzz Aldrin.
Crazy Buzz.
Huh?
That's a good one. Buzz Aldrin was one of the three. Mike Collins, who did not walk on the moon. He was orbiting outside to pick them up. He was the getaway car. And, of course, Neil Armstrong. That was in 1969. On this day, 1974, the Supreme Court unanimously ruled that President Nixon had to turn over the subpoenaed White House tape recordings to the Watergate special prosecutor. Interesting timeline, 1974. On this date in 1965, Bob Dylan's Like a Rolling Stone is released.
Okay.
It became kind of a big deal.
All over the place.
Led to a magazine.
65.
On this date in 1998, Saving Private Ryan was released.
Ooh.
Matt Damon, one of the stars.
What year was that?
1998.
Wow,
that old, huh? 20 years ago. 20 years Jesus. Today. There. And, Beetle knows where I'm going. If you have anything else, this would be a good time, because I'm going to close with this. You got anything else?
I don't think so.
The closer.
I think this is the closer.
The closer has to be on July 24th, 2004. A rainy Saturday it was. It was a dark and rainy day over at Fenway Park. And
there was a rain delay in this game.
Oh,
correct?
Big time. Yeah. This was the day that Nomar was bitching about his role here, demanded to be traded in a meeting with the owners in the underbelly of Fenway. He was, in fact, traded on the 31st, a week later. But on this Saturday, Sox had the Yanks in town. The convention was in town, which would nominate John Kerry on July 25th on Sunday
night.
I have a small note
about that, about the DNC.
Okay.
That I'll tell you after you tell this story.
Me too.
And so after a long rain delay, and the Red Sox players stormed in, they said, we want to play this game. And the Yankees had started to leave. Guys were, you know, putting their clothes back on, out to the buses, out in cabs. And they said, no, come back. The Red Sox are saying they want to play this game. Jason Veritek and Wakefield, they were all lobbying to play the game. And they played the game. This was the day that Jason Veritek stuffed his catcher's mitt into the face of Alex Rodriguez.
Here's how it sounded on Fox.
The Red Sox yawning.
Alex Rodriguez is drilled, and he says something to Bronson Arroyo. And we know what he said. Here we go. Veritek and A-Rod going at it. Schilling is right in the middle of it. Now another fight off to the side. Millar is in it. Nixon is in it. Down to the right. And it was Sturts. That's who Millar and Nixon got into it with. Today's starting pitcher. It's going to take forever to get this thing straightened out.
Tanyan Sturts. Didn't Sturts get into it with the guy in the bullpen, too?
Yeah.
The guy who worked for the
Pride
team.
He was from Worcester.
Yeah. Pride of Worcester.
Yeah, Worcester zone. He knows that.
Do you hear the crowd, though? That's the good old days.
Yeah. The Sox won the game. Billy Miller.
On a walk-off by Bill Miller.
Yep.
That's what it was.
Yeah, that turned the season around.
And you know what? They went 5-5 over their next 10 games. Mm. So it took a little bit.
Nomar getting traded.
It really was
around.
Nomar getting traded a little bit later.
Yeah,
that ignited it.
Yeah.
I read something recently about the Summer League in Vegas and how it's become a big deal in the NBA, and Summer League is blown up, right? With the arenas, people, television coverage, everything. 2003, LeBron was here for Summer League, right? UMass Boston.
Yep.
Played the Summer League games here. Do you know what killed the Boston Summer League? The DNC being here in 2004. Mm. They could not secure hotel rooms in town for the Summer League, and it basically ended Boston's chance of continuing their Summer League, which is why we lost it.
That's a footnote right there.
Yeah, I just read there was a story in SI about it last week.
Cause and effect.
Mm. Yeah.
Wow.
I bought a black Cadillac that was used for the DNC as a demo.
Really?
So I got to save money in a car. Thank you to John Kerry and the Democratic National Convention for coming to Boston, because I saved a lot of money on a barely driven car.
Cadillac. Did you have to know somebody to get that?
No, I just went to Cadillac Escalade. Yeah, I know a buddy. He still works there.
You knew somebody.
He's like, hey, we got a couple demo cars from the DNC. In. Yeah.
I'll have one more. I'll name drop here. So the next day on the 25th, which was the eve of the convention, Kerry was at the game. It was a night game, Sox Yanks. After the game, I was supposed to meet somebody, one of those nightclubs on Lansdowne Street, you know, the Euro places there.
Okay, yeah.
And
Cheeks?
I couldn't get in because, you know, it's like a million 30-year-olds standing outside all lined up, and I couldn't get in. And while I was supposed to meet the guy inside, and Ben Affleck walked out, and he said, Dan, why are you so hard on Pedro? He started giving me grief about being too hard on Pedro Martinez. And so we talked about it, and I said, as long as you're yelling at me, can you get me into this place? So he got me in. That was it.
Wow, how nice.
Yeah, it was like a Zoe kind of story. You
know? It's nice.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. All right, Dan. Good to see you.
Thanks, fellas.
Appreciate you being in. We'll talk next week. That is Dan Shaughnessy here with us on Zolak and Bertrand. Fourth and final hour on the way. 90 seconds, no commercials. Don't go anywhere.